In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, we especially consider Matthew chapter 25, our gospel lesson. I'll read again the last bits. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Dear saints, after last Sunday's church service with its readings and its sermons and its hymn, that Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again for me. The Stout children had some thoughts and questions. One particular Stout child, Henry, asked if Jesus would come back soon, like today or tomorrow. We said, "He could." Henry said, "I don't know if I want that. I want to grow up." We all know what Henry means. There are certain things that we like about our life right now. There are memories of the past that you would like to keep. There are things about the future that you are looking forward to, whether those things will happen to you or things that will happen to others that you love. Henry wants to grow up. We want to see Henry grow up. We want to see all of the children that we love grow up. And there is much to look forward to in what God has in store for all of the children in our families, in our congregations, in our schools, even as we thank God for what He has given us in the present and the past. We get it. I'm not sure I want Jesus to come back right now. Add to that the Christian's anxiety for those who are outside the faith. The parable that our Lord gives us today are about five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. It brings us, especially in our hearts and our minds, the Holy Spirit brings us those who would be found on the foolish end. We know that if Jesus were to come back right now, we know too many that would likely be in the foolish category. Ones who are not watching. Ones who could care less about Jesus, the church's bridegroom. We don't want to hear anyone, the most haunting words that we have in almost all of Holy Scripture. We don't want anyone to hear these words, for we know how awful these words are to come out of our Lord's mouth. "I do not know you." We cannot believe for them. We cannot care about Jesus for them. We pray for them, and we speak to them about how Jesus knows their sin, and knows their death, and knows their devil, and knows their guilt and their shame, and knows their doubts and their selfishness, and He knows all of this, and because He knew it, He died for them. He came for them, and He loves them, and He bore all of their sin and all of their shame, and He nailed it to the cross, and He rose again on the third day, all so that they might be known as children of God. God wants to know them as their true Father. And He wants them to know that they are His true children. God wants them to know that he sees them in Christ as holy and blameless and without spot or blemish. God wants to know them, so he gave the world his Son, who is the very image of the invisible God. And God gives them his word and his spirit to call and to gather them and to enlighten them, to bring them to light, to reveal who he is for them and who they are to him. He wants to bring all to faith that they might know the voice of the good shepherd, as sheep know the voice of their shepherd. We want them to know these words, that they are the most precious words that we know, that Jesus knows us and he loves us. But we know there's a limit on what we can do. The wise virgins could not give the foolish virgins their oil. The foolish had to go to the place where they could get it for themselves. They cannot look to us as their ultimate hope or their help, for we are not their ultimate hope, and we are not their ultimate help, and it is good for us to be reminded of that. God be praised that he has not yet come back for their sake. He is indeed waiting for them to be ready. But any thought that the Christian might have of, I'm not sure I want Jesus to come back, shows that we are still so often confused. There are many names for Christian death, but one of the most profound names is gain. Death is gain. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The end for the Christian is nothing but gain. Judgment day is gain. The end of the world is gain. The end of our life is gain. All things that we think we love here, we either won't miss or we will have it more in abundance there. We fear or we are not sure or are anxious because we think that we are going to lose something that we treasure. But Jesus gives us this parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, not only as our warning, but especially for our comfort, for all are looking forward to the wedding feast. It's going to be amazing. The day of Christian weddings are a day of gain. The husband gains a wife and her family, and the wife gains a husband and his family. And with that bond of one flesh between man and woman is the hope of the gain of children in the future. We are waiting for more gain. We are waiting on the wedding feast. Just listen to what our antiphon from the introit says that we gain. Those first four lines from our introit is from Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We have been purchased. We have been bought back. We have been rescued by the price of the blood of the Son of God. We are the ransomed of the Lord. And because Christ gained our sin and the wrath of God we deserve and lost his life, and because the Lord and giver of life gained his own life back in the resurrection, we have gained his righteousness and sanctification and wisdom. You are wise in Christ. You have gained the status of a child of God. You belong to God. You always had. He created you. But sin and death and the devil started to rip you away. But now you are the redeemed. You are going back to God. We're going home. We will return. And we're going to be with our favorite person in the world, Jesus. And all who belong to him, we're going to be with them. Everlasting joy shall be upon our heads, the text says. We're going to go with singing, and we're going to have joy, and it's a joy that will never end. Right now, you have all sorts of things that are weighing you down, all sorts of things that are pressing down upon you, all sorts of things that are on your mind that are splitting you between here and there. But there, the thing that will be upon you will be joy. It won't weigh you down. It'll lift you up. Dear saints, the things that we are looking forward to, the things that we are reaching out and waiting for, we will finally have. We will obtain gladness and joy. We'll finally have it, the text says. He'll give it to us. It will finally all be here. And the only thing that we will lose, the text says, is sorrow and sighing. Joy will win the battle. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away in retreat. Death is gain. The end is gain. The world's end is gain. We are looking forward to the bridegroom coming because he is our bridegroom and he loves us and he made us his own. And that is our wisdom. That is wisdom that comes not from our sinful nature, but it is a wisdom only received as the Holy Spirit calls us and enlightens us and gives us his gifts. For we cannot by our own reason or strength believe this stuff. For we see so many things that are so different. You need to keep receiving this wisdom. Because what you see out there in the world is so different than what you hear and hear. And he is delayed. He hasn't yet come back. It's hard to wait. But the one that you are waiting on is here for you right now. He is here for you with his word. He is here for you to warn you. Lord, Lord, open to us. But Jesus said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. That's a warning. Watch, dear saints, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. That's a warning. Oh, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. You need to be reminded of that. We are so much less than we so often think we are. But he is also here with his promises. Jesus says, I am the door. That we enter through him and we find green pastures. Jesus says, I know you. You know my voice. You are my sheep. You have sat at my table. I have fed you with food that I have prepared. I have purchased you. I have redeemed you. You are children of the Heavenly Father. I know you. And there's joy upon joy from being here with him today. May that remind you that you have a joy upon joy upon joy when you'll be with him forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.